being comfortable with the elements. Seven-day spiritual retreat, lecture 5, July 3rd, being comfortable with the elements. What are the elements? The elements are what's all about us. The elements are what makes up the weather. The elements are what makes up our body temperature. The elements are what causes heat, what causes cold. The elements are why we are hot and why we are cold. The elements are the why. If I say, Sybil, go out and polish my car. Take the wax and polish it and polish it and polish it and polish it and polish it. So Sybil goes out and polishes the car. It's a lovely day. It's in the 70s. Just very pleasant. There's not much sun. So just a lovely day. And Sybil is out there, cool as a cucumber, just comfortable in normal comfort. And so she's rubbing on the car. And she's polishing it and she's polishing it. And she's perspiring, throwing off beads of perspiration from her forehead. And she's perspiring, her shirt is perspiring, and she's perspiring all over. The heat inside her body is growing intensely. And she is letting it out through her perspiration, through her skin. She's letting it out. Now, where'd that heat come from? Did that heat come from her normal body? No, her normal body was quite comfortable. You know. Her normal body was quite normal. Did it come from the temperature outside? No. The temperature outside was very pleasant. Did it come from some unit, some heating unit that was pointed at her while she was working there? At least she might have thought that was the case. No. It happened in her mind. In her mind, she felt she was working. Research has been done on athletes and how much energy they expend in running and jumping and doing all the things they do. And research was extended on people who lived sedentary lives by just sitting around doing nothing, so to speak. And research was done on scientists as to how much energy they burned, how much perspiration did they develop, how hot did they get as they were doing their scientific studies. And it was found that the scientists, or at least the intellectual people who were using their mind, were much hotter, had much higher temperature threshold than the athlete. The athlete seemed to have that, but he didn't have it as much as the intellectual person, the person using their mind at a very fine grade of attitude. Well, we ask ourselves, being comfortable with the elements, what are the elements? Now, if you're at the South Pole, North Pole, and you join the Polar Bear Club there, and you go naked and jump into, I don't know why you have to be naked without a swimming suit, but in hand, you always go naked. You jump into the ocean, into the Antarctic Ocean, or Arctic Ocean, whichever, and you come out again quickly, and somebody pulls you out, and then you run back to the hut and get in the steam bath, and you're really very warm, very warm. Your body has been made very warm by the cold of the water. And you think that that's not true, you know, that the body would be made cold by the cold of the water. It would sap away the heat. But all it did was to invigorate your heat-making process in your body. Now, true, if you stayed in the cold water any length of time, the heat-making process in your body would stop functioning because you allowed it to stop functioning, because you felt the cold water was sapping away all your heat. Instead, don't do that. Why do Eskimos live in igloos? Eskimos live in igloos, which are made of ice. And you think that, my goodness, the ice would absorb all of their heat. Well, the ice caused the heat to go back into the body. It caused the room to remain a very wonderful temperature. Because once it was stabilized, the ice didn't change. The ice was its own icy self. And it remained that way. At first, with people going in and out, the ice turned to water, and the snow turned to water, and then to ice, and became frozen, and became a very wonderful barrier. So, all it was a barrier to keep the heat in. Well, now, why is it some people freeze in an igloo, and other people are warm in an igloo? Some people freeze in an igloo because they tell themselves they're going to be very cold. Other people are very warm in an igloo. In fact, they don't wear any clothes at all in the igloo because they're very warm. They're very hot. Can you imagine wearing a fur coat in an igloo that is 60, 80 degrees or wherever it is, you know? Even 60 degrees is pretty hot. And they're very warm. They're very warm. Now, where does the warmth come from? Being comfortable with the elements. Well, when we are master of the elements, when we are master of the elements in our mental attitude, then we are master of everything. We are the creator of the world in which we live. We create a world being warm, cold, you know, damp, moist, dry, whatever we want. We create that. Now, think again. Here we have the Arabs. We have those living in that Arabic countries and the Arab arid desert type country, very, very hot, very desert. And what do? They run around with two or three coats on. Two or three coats. Camel's hair coats, you know, coats made of very heavy stuff, but they're two or three. And are they comfortable? They are perfectly normal. If you were to take their temperature inside the coats, you'd find it was a perfect 98. A perfect normal temperature. They would be perfectly, just like the inside of the body, be perfectly comfortable. Now, this is true. This is true, as strange as it may seem. But why is it true? It's true because they are in their mental climate. They're in their mental climate. Other people can wear just one coat and be warm. Other people can be naked in the desert. Naked in the desert and not hot. Yes, many of the African tribes that live in the desert and have no clothing, they have no shelters. It's just barren countryside, and they're herding whatever the type of cattle they have, and they take them from one place to another. And a very famous statue was done of a young man who was in charge of his flock, and he was standing there with his one foot up against the knee of the other foot, you know, and leaning on his staff. And people think, oh, he's just resting his foot or something, you know. Well, actually, he's letting that foot get cool while the other foot was warm. No, that's just a stance. And these people live with no clothes out in the middle of the desert, out in the middle of the very hot, hot, hot desert, and they themselves are black. And you think that that would absorb the heat, and that would make them very hot, but they're just mentally cool. And there are many other tribes that sleep on the ground without any blankets, and they're naked. And we read about a number of them in the National Geographic. And they're the, not the pygmy people, but the very small people. And they live in this jungle area, not jungle, in this desert area, high desert, whatever. And they have no clothes, they have no anything, and they have a very fine set of laws, we're told, and they're a very excellent type of people, but they're perfectly normal. They don't think of putting a blanket on at night because they don't have one. They don't think of putting clothes on during the day because they don't have them, and they don't think of anything about it. There's nothing about it. And what I'm trying to emphasize is the idea that they have nothing to guide their temperature. There are some people, they feel dressed when they have their shorts on, you know. Oh, now I'm comfortable, you know, now I'm okay. Or when they have their shirt on, or when they have something on, because that sort of helps them. And yet, the people who have nothing on are more comfortable than the people who have just a little on. Because the little on is what they think is going to keep them warm, but it doesn't. Now, how do we control our temperature? How do we control the elements which control our temperature? It's all a mental proposition. We can train ourselves to do this very easily in a very wonderful way. I've seen some people who work on very heavy jobs, and they're just sweating away, and they have a shirt on and pants on, and they're just sweating. It's running off of them like it's terrible. And somebody else with a pair of shorts or nothing on is working there too. And they're not sweating at all. They're very comfortable. They're very much at peace with themselves. And now, why are they at peace with themselves? They're at peace with themselves because that's comfortable for them. That's comfortable. They don't have a mental image that if they have a shirt and pants on, they're going to sweat. They don't have a mental image that if they're in this hot place, they're going to sweat. They don't have that mental image. They don't have that mental image at all. They know that they're living in the pure comfort of whatever they're living in. Now, you can do that too. Have you ever gone into a cold shower and said, "Ooh, it's cold," and then a moment later it was warm? It wasn't warm because the water turned warm, but you turned warm. You turned on your inner thermostat, and the water was immaterial. At first, when I give Rex a little shower with cold water to rinse off the mud that he gets on him sometimes, he shakes a little bit, and then he stands there just loving it, loving it, loving it, because he acclimated definitely to the cool water, and he loves water, period. So that makes it wonderful for him. How do we train ourselves to be comfortable with the elements? Well, in the first place, if we want to name the elements, then we have a problem. If we want to name rain wet, and the sun hot, and the winter breeze cold, and snow cold, and fire hot, you know, all these things. These are things we talked about before. If you want to name them that, then what are you doing? You are giving them a title. You're empowering them to be a certain thing. Now, in the beginning of all beginnings, we named everything. And we named it not because of what it was, but because of what we wanted it to be. And we wanted something to be hot and something to be cold and something to be warm and something to be cool. And we named them these things to have them be that. You think we didn't? We sure did. We sure did. And why do we say of a person, "That's a very cool look you gave me"? Yeah. Can you feel the coldness of it? Can you feel the ice of it? You know, that's an icy stare. These things are not said for no reason at all. They're said because they are an instant reflection of what's going on in the mind, an instant reflection of the mind outwardly of what's going on. And you're looking at a person, you give them a cold stare, and they feel shivers down their back when they feel a cold stare. And you haven't touched them. You haven't done anything except to look at them and give them a cold stare, and they get shivers running down their back. And those shivers are shivers of coolness, not shivers of heat, not shivers of fright or terror, but shivers of coolness. Now, how did you do that? You see, we've got so much power. We've got so much opportunity to do such wonderful things if we would just do it. Now, let's just diverse for a moment. Now, I'm looking at my bank account. And I'm saying, "Bank account, you are not full, but you are just overflowing," you know. To say full means that it's full and that's end, you know. But overflowing means it's in motion. It's in motion. Lots of good stuff in there, you know. Bank account, you're overflowing. Bank account, I draw upon you regularly, abundantly, wonderfully. Bank account, you're fantastic. Bank account, you're this. And you say, "Bank account?" Well, now, can you give a cold stare? Sure you can. Can you give your bank account the idea that it's overflowing? Sure. The bank account is merely a bunch of atoms that are waiting to be formed into whatever you want it to be. Your bank account can be formed in its undifferentiated matter of atoms into a couple dollars. Or it can be a couple billion dollars. You say, wow, you know. And that's not unusual. That's not unusual at all. You go through the list, excuse me, of people on Earth. Go through the list. And just take, let's say, Beverly Hills, just for the fun of it. That's a nice rich area in California here. Beverly Hills, California, right by Los Angeles, where, so to speak, all the rich people live. There's a lot of poor people there, too. But that's where a lot of rich people have their homes. Malibu, Beverly Hills, so forth. So, do they think it's unusual to have money in their checking accounts? No. Most natural thing in the world. And if there's no money in their checking account sometime, what happened? That's not right. There must be money in there. And then they make sure there's money in there. But they had to make sure there's money. Mentally, they had to put the cause in motion.